Let's go. Make no excuses now. I'm talking here and now. I'm talking here and now. Let's go. Your time is running out. I'm talking here and now. I'm talking here and now. It's not about what you've done, it's about what you're doing. It's all about where you're going, no matter where you've been.
Hi, welcome to Get You Fit Radio with your host, Irene Cook, the radio show that helps you lead a healthy lifestyle. Well, and that healthy lifestyle is one that should last a lifetime. I have found myself talking more and more about that over the last few years. And interestingly, as I find myself repeating the same topics over and over, this is how I kind of come about the show topics that I want to talk about. Yesterday I had a couple private coaching sessions with some people, and I don't know if it was something in the air, or if it is just the time of year, or if this is just the topic that so many people are faced with, but I thought it was about time that I share a special little story. So here goes. Once upon a time, there was a lady who had the most beautiful pear tree. Her name was Persistent Penelope. Everybody was so envious of her perfect pear tree. What they didn't realize is that Penelope spent years and years perfecting this perfect pear tree. She knew that having a perfect pear required a lot of patience, and that producing a perfect pear required more than just taking care of the pear tree around the time that the pear fruits were about to be harvested. Every single fall, when her pear tree would produce these amazing pears, all of the neighbors would come around, and they all wanted to share these delicious pears. More so, they wanted Penelope to share her secrets with her neighbors. And as much as she tried to communicate with them what it took to get these pears to taste this way and to look this way and to get her tree to produce these amazing pears, it was really difficult for her because it wasn't just about that year. It was about the hard work that she put in year after year. And the tree produced these perfect pears, not because of that one season, but from the nurturing that she gave the tree throughout not only the year, but over the years. But yet she knew people just did not seem to understand that because they can only focus on the actual fruit. Well, one year, a few of her neighbors got together and decided that they were going to attempt to grow pears just like Penelope. So one neighbor went out and purchased a pear tree, planted it, and would occasionally go out and water it. She nurtured it all summer long, but, you know, she'd get frustrated because she just kept looking out her window at Penelope's tree and wondering why her tree just looked so much better. And when she wasn't seeing the product, she wasn't seeing the trees blossom, she wasn't seeing the leaves grow, she would get frustrated. And instead of spending that extra time, she would quit. She would neglect it. And in her state of frustration, she would realize that it needed that care. So she'd go out and spend that time nurturing that tree, and it would start looking good for a little while. But then again, her frustrations would take over, and it just was not consistent enough for her to produce the right type of pear tree. This person's name was Impatient Iris, as you can imagine. She was very, very impatient, and she would occasionally muster up the energy to go out there and put in that time. But again, she wasn't seeing those results. She got so frustrated once because she noticed that Penelope could leave her tree for weeks at a time, go on vacation, visit her friends, and yet come back and her tree would be fine. It was able to persevere. But if iris left her tree for longer than a day or two, the leaves would wilt and the blossoms would fall. This would frustrate her even more. And she just thought it was unfair and unjust that Penelope's tree could produce such perfect pears. Well, another neighbor, Fast Fix Francis, decided to cut in line and purchase a mature pear tree. And she was assured that this tree would produce pears the first season. She was promised that these pears would be delicious and she would get an ample supply. They figured this all out. They purchased the tree. They planted it into the ground. They had no skills or no habits necessary to take care of this tree. And of course, it went into a state of shock and it didn't produce any pears. But Penelope and her tree kept on going, kept on persevering, even though it weathered many storms. Even though Penelope stepped away from her tree, the tree was able to survive many frosts because it had the years of nurturing under its roots. And Penelope had the years of experience under her belt to know what she could do to correct the issue. Finally, at the end of the summer, when it came time to harvest the pears, to everyone's surprise, Iris's tree had a handful of pears on it. It was amazing, but Iris was not happy. Instead of being proud of her progress, her very first harvest, she looked at her tree and was sad. She looked at the number of pears on her tree and was disgusted because she was only focusing on the number. She only focused on how much farther she had to go before she was at the level that she wanted to be at, not keeping in mind the amount of hours and weeks and months and years that Penelope had put into nurturing her tree. Her other neighbor that had planted the mature tree actually had one pear that popped out, and it was quite small, but it was extremely tasty. And again, instead of being happy about this amazing treat, she didn't even pick it because it just wasn't good enough. Well, Penelope and her tree seemed perfect to everyone else. But what people didn't realize is that Penelope had developed not only the routine that was needed to nurture this tree, but the habits that were also needed to make it not so cumbersome. And what's more important is that Penelope was known as the person that had the perfect pear tree, because this was her identity and she enjoyed it. This was not a task. She was not just going through the motions to get the perfect pear. She enjoyed the process. And what's more important than just having the perfect pear is combining the desire to have it. And that is the perfect pear in all senses of the word. And so I wanted to share this story because just this week I have had a handful. And when I say a handful, I'm gonna call it a bushel, an actual bushel of people who have seen progress, who have worked very, very hard in getting to a better place with their health and with their wellness. They're all people, and you might be somebody that's listening that may not have come to me, and this is something that might be in the depths of your mind, who have been working hard, but are not happy. You are impatient Iris. You are looking at your harvest, and it's just not good enough. But that is like being at the bottom of a mountain looking at the top. You're never going to get there. And instead, what you should do is change that mindset. This is so, so important. In order to achieve a permanent goal, and that permanent lifestyle change, you have to have this vision. And this vision has to become a reality. And so the reason for this story is I had, again, a bushel of people who all lost a pretty substantial amount of weight. Now, granted, they do have more weight to lose, but every single one of them had this sad look on their face. because it wasn't enough for them. And it was heartbreaking for me because one of them got a text message response from me with explosions and firecrackers. And I was just so thrilled. This person has a phobia of the scale and does not weigh themselves and weighed themselves from doctor appointment to doctor appointment and lost 12 pounds between doctor's visits and reported this to me. And my response with the fireworks came back from her saying that she was disappointed because she thought it would be more. But just like the pear tree, you do have to start somewhere. And you have to keep your vision in light of what is real. This entire journey has to be something that you can encumber. And it has to be something that you know that you can accomplish. Because if you aren't being consistent and there is no perseverance, you're not going to get there. Another person texted me and had this great, great result. She broke into what I call a new century, which means she finally got out of the 200s into the 100s. And again, sad look on her face because it just was not good enough. And my answer to her was, once again, every step in the right direction is a step closer to your goal. And, you know, throughout my whole entire life, I was always chasing that lower number, not realizing about all of the changes that are happening inside my body. All of the changes that are happening within my cardiovascular system, within my respiratory system, within my liver, all of my organs, my heart, my cholesterol readings. These are all things that we don't think about. We're only focused on the number. And if you were listening to me talk about those pairs, Iris was only focused on the number. And we need to change our vision because this negativity is only going to steer you in the wrong direction. And so with that being said, in my story, to succeed at losing weight and all other goals, you do have to be responsible for your actions. You need to believe that you are in control. If you put your destiny in your own hands, you'll be able to move forward. Of course, there's always circumstances beyond our control and we can't choose them. And this is where people typically get derailed. Another conversation I had with someone today, there's always something that happens. When is the last time that your life was seamless? There's always some accident. There's always some fall. There's always some flu. There's always some derailment. So you almost have to bank on there being some issue. And you need to be in control with that. You have to learn to cope with that. Because many of our weight loss issues stem from an emotional response that we have to stress. And I can tell you, it is a knee-jerk reaction. And I would be lying if I told you I still don't trigger to that. The only difference with me is I'm able to stop it. I enjoy the pity party of fantasizing about the deep dish pizza that I'm going to order, but I don't actually order it because I've come to the realization that ordering the deep dish pizza and eating until my stomach hurts is only going to make the stressful situation even more stressful. So if you're just joining us, you're listening to Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP, and I am talking about the reality of weight loss and how to persevere, how to get there, and how to enjoy the way there instead of not being happy with your progress as you're getting there, because so often we don't think about the perseverance that it takes to get there. Just this morning, again, I had a call with a client who expressed to me that she was angry because one of her girlfriends gets to eat what she wants at restaurants. This goes right back to Penelope with the pear tree because we don't know the amount of work that somebody has had to go through to be able to get a metabolism that's fast enough to be able to eat what they want. And here's the thing. When you decide that you want to lose weight, it doesn't just magically come off. Stress doesn't just magically disappear. Unfortunately, like I said, life is never going to be perfect, and stress is always going to be there. You just have to learn how to cope with it better. And I will tell you that the goal is to succeed and to have a healthier lifestyle, and losing weight, despite the challenges that come your way, is always going to take the stress away. My favorite saying in the whole world is nothing makes a day more stressful than when your jeans are tight. So why would you sabotage your efforts by stress eating and hindering your stress and your efforts by sabotaging yourself? So remove the clutter and chaos. My big first tip, what does clutter and chaos have to do with losing weight? Well, in my opinion, it's everything. I talk about this often. It is very, very difficult to envision a better life when you are surrounded by clutter and chaos. Clutter and chaos create hot zones, and it's impossible to establish new routines and habits when you are trying to survive these hot zones. Hot zones are moments when you feel stressed out, overwhelmed, and the decisions made are more about surviving the moment instead of focusing on the long-term goals. Again, going back to the pear tree, the chaos of just getting the pear, you're not thinking about the process that is needed to get there. When I started my weight loss journey, like everyone else, I wanted to lose weight. So I thought eating less and moving more would get me into that smaller pair of jeans. And of course, that worked for 10 minutes. But then as soon as I realized that that wasn't sustainable, I had to go back and figure out how to do this in a sustainable way. But when I stepped back and looked, and this still happens to me to this day, I realized that any time my weight loss goals were off track, the rest of my life was off track. I noticed that when I wasn't eating well, when I wasn't exercising well, when I wasn't taking care of myself, I would look around and there were hot zones everywhere. Now, if you don't really know what I'm talking about, I'm going to tell you. Hot zones, clutter, and chaos. I am telling you, any time that I am off, my dishes are piled up, my laundry is piled up, I haven't gone grocery shopping, I'm behind on my bills, and everything else that goes with it. Emails are piled up, the list goes on. So it's a lot easier to remove the clutter and chaos from your life when you start taking care of yourself. So put the routines into place, clean up the clutter and chaos, and take control of your goals and focus on them. Of course, I'm not saying that my life is perfectly organized by any means, although I did clean out my car the other day, and I am very proud of that. However, we all know everyone is human. The thing is, I know and you know that you can accomplish a lot more when you make something a priority. So focus on a solution, not excuses. And I talk about this all the time. My 12-year-old, so often when she loses something, when she can't find something, she spirals around, literally in the living room, walks around in a circle. I can't find my homework. I can't find my homework. I can't find my homework. But I say to her, you're not even looking for it. Focus on a solution, not an excuse. And I literally find myself saying this all day long to my clients. A mindful strategy that has been very helpful throughout my weight loss journey is focusing on solutions instead of excuses. And I do this all the time. You cannot be that person that walks around and says, I'm a stress eater, because you're gonna fall into that excuse of being a stress eater. You also can't be that person that says, I can't make it to the gym, because you have just labeled yourself that person that can't make it to the gym. This gives us permission to just give up and not try. And this is completely me with my gas tank situation. I've always been that person that says, I let my car run to empty. And we all know what happens when you let your car run to empty. That's an excuse, and excuses are being lazy. Warning, it's going to be much, much tougher when you get lazy, because this is what happens. We get lazy, we fall into our excuses, we tell ourselves we can't do it, and then we feel that this is us. Just like Iris with the tree, she really truly believed that she was unable to do it, but she never put in the time. She planted the tree for one season. She was disappointed in her results when she should have been proud of her results. And instead of having that negative outlook, she should have looked at that as a positive outlook. And having that positive outlook, enjoying those pears, not comparing those pears to somebody that has put in years and years of time, would have done a lot more justice to her. So I think it's really important that instead of saying the negative things, you can actually trick your brain to think otherwise. Just kind of like that little engine that could, we can tell ourselves that we can. No one wants to admit that they're lazy. I know I don't. But what you should do is acknowledge what you can do. Make yourself accountable. As a coach, people hire me to be their accountability partner. And when I do that, I feel very fulfilled to help people. But at the same time, people feel that they are not able to be their own accountability partner. And you need to make yourself accountable as well. Now, surely, it's always good to have somebody to lean on, to have somebody accountable for your actions as well. One thing that I encourage you to do is hold yourself accountable and not make excuses for what you can't do. Third, be in charge. Say that you want to lose weight. Say that you might have an excuse, but take charge of it. So there's the difference. I fully respect somebody that says, I know I'm full of excuses. However, I'm going to work harder at this. I know I'm somebody that gets stumped up by comparing myself to others, but I'm going to get better at this. Instead of falling into that slippery slope of just wanting to get into those skinnier jeans and wanting to have more energy and wanting to be comfortable in our own bodies, but not wanting to put in the work and just making excuses. So this is what I want you to take from this. It's important that you make this a priority. And I will tell you that there's a huge difference between an excuse and acknowledging that you have a weakness. Focusing on a solution instead of an excuse. And this will be a life change for you. So be prepared, take action. And if there's one thing that I've learned over the years is change does not happen. One of my other most favorite sayings is, if it doesn't challenge you, it won't change you. And this applies to everything in life. We are so comfortable in our little comfort zone. And once we're in our comfort zone, we could stay here forever. But then we're not going to change. In order to see a change, we do have to push ourselves. And it's not going to be easy. And it's going to be a little bit of a struggle. And that is going to mean you're going to have to go out and get your fingers dirty. Iris, you're going to have to get wet in the rain while you are pruning that tree. You're going to have to muster up the energy to go out there when you don't really want to. But despite all of the difficult challenges, once you persevere, I can't even tell you that day one, as hard as day one is, day 300 will not seem that hard, because all that blood, sweat, and tears that happens in those 299 days, that's what makes you stronger. And that's what breaks you into and out of that comfort zone, It breaks you into the next level. So in order to experience success, you have to create a plan, prepare for a change, and take action. The tree is not going to just grow. You have to put in the work. You have to prepare. You have to watch it grow. You have to appreciate its growth. And you have to be kind to yourself along the way. So I hope this helps, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your day.
Let's go. Make no excuses now. I'm talking here and now. I'm talking here and now. Let's go. Your time is running out. I'm talking here and now. I'm talking here and now. It's not about what you've done, it's about